We'd like to thank the thousands of listeners who supported KALW during our recent fall membership drive. Thanks to Karen Turner Sanford from San Francisco and Amanda Whitehead from Berkeley. And thanks to all of you for helping to keep KALW strong and independent.
I'm Dr. Dawn Gross, host of KALW's Dying to Talk. The last week of October marks the first ever Bay Area-wide week of reimagining the end of life, and Dying to Talk wants to share it with you. Join me at our live audience taping Saturday, October 29th at 2 p.m. in San Francisco. Visit KALW.org for tickets. Then listen to the broadcast Sunday at 8 a.m. here on KALW San Francisco.
Hi, this is Emmanuel Nadeau. Every Thursday night, Edwin Okwongo and I invite you to a musical expedition in Africa. Shuttle from Algeria to Zimbabwe and the African diaspora, Central to South America, the Caribbean, and all points in between. It is Africa Mix, a magical music experience on KLW 91.7 FM and on the web at klw.org.
You're listening to 91.7 KALW San Francisco, and now we go live to the Norse Theater in San Francisco for Kamau Right Now.
Please welcome W. Kamau Bell.
Hello, San Francisco. Welcome to Kamau Right Now. Give it up for Bell's Atlas, the band. The best name band in show business, Bell's Atlas, because Kamau's Atlas was taken. Thank you for coming to the show, everybody. For tonight's show, we've teamed up with City Arts and Lectures for our one-year anniversary show live at the beautiful Norse Theater in downtown San Francisco. Not only that, but we're broadcasting live on the best public radio station of all time, period, KALW, and streaming online to all parts of the known universe. That's right, everybody. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you do. All right, we'll keep it moving. It's raining outside. The energy's low. It's all right. I'm W. Kamau Bell, and tonight we're going to do what we do. We're going to have some conversations, get into everything that's happening in the world right now, in our worlds, in the greater world. And sometimes these conversations can get awkward. Like the last episode, we were at the Jewish Community Center here in San Francisco, and I had an awkward talk with someone from the Jewish Voice for Peace and a rabbi from Temple Emmanuel, and we talked a little Palestine on stage. Yeah, that's how it went right there. How you guys did. It was a very little bit of Palestine because the JCC was like, that's enough. We're like, all right. On stage, not so awkward. Off stage, it got really awkward. I won't. I'm going to stop making jokes because it just get more awkward. But that was a great show, and we have an awesome show tonight to celebrate our one-year anniversary. I couldn't be more excited about these guests. We have amazing guests tonight. The panel we're going to have out later, we have our first panelist is the creator and host of the podcast named New York Magazine's number one podcast of 2015. The podcast is, of course, called Death, Sex, and Money. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about right there, yeah? She's a new mom and a recent Bay Area transplant. Give it up for Anna Sale, everybody. She'll be out here later. Coming out a little later. Next person coming out for the rap session is the Emmy Award-winning executive producer and head writer for the show Inside Amy Schumer on Comedy Central. And she's the author of the book, the New York Times bestseller, You'll Grow Out of It. Give it up for my friend Jesse Klein, everybody. And And the third member of the Rab Session is someone who one day will have a postage stamp and be on the back of fans at Baptist churches all around this country. She's the co-founder of Black Lives Matter and number 19 on the Roots Top 100 Most Influential African Americans. Alicia Garza, everybody. Alicia Garza. Yeah. I will not be talking a lot tonight. I'll let them handle it. And later we're going to have an awkward talk with a return guest, Mother Jones journalist Shane Bauer. Give it up for him, everybody. Last time he was here, we had him on. We had an awkward talk about how he spent time undercover as a prison guard in the great state of Louisiana. Yeah. Everybody's like, I don't like any part of that sentence. And recently, he took that one step further by going undercover with a group of border militia in Arizona. So he's alive. Give it up for him being alive after doing those two things. And since this is Kamau Right Now, we want to know what's going on with you right now here in our audience here at the Norse Theater, listening on the radio or on Twitter. Maybe you have a question for one of our guests tonight. Maybe you want to talk about how we're almost at the end of this election season. Exactly, yes. Or how if Donald Trump wins, we're almost at the end of days, the biblical end of days, everybody. So yes, tell us good stuff too. Tweet to us at Kamau Right Now or using the hashtag K-A-M-A-U-N-O-W, Kamau Now. And also, let's introduce our awesome social media panel. In fact, one of the people who will be carefully sorting through all your wonderful social media reactions, please give it up for our tweet wrangler, Becca Hoekstra, everybody. Becca Hoekstra.
Hi.
Over here to my left.
So thanks to our audience at the Norse, we are already trending in San Francisco. Hashtag Kamau Now. So thank you, everyone. Way to go. You did it. For everyone else listening at home, we really want your questions since we have some incredibly intelligent people on this stage tonight. So send us your observations.
Wait. You mean tonight we have intelligent people? What's that supposed
just
to mean?
Just tonight, yeah.
Just
you know,
tonight?
The rest,
okay. Right. I get it.
And we have an example one just... So at Michelle J. Walker, a friend and I took over a Girl Scout troop so it wouldn't have to fold, making future leaders. So we also want to hear good stuff. Please remind me that everything on social media is not Donald Trump.
That means that there will be more Girl Scout cookies in the world. Yay! Samoas are the best. Thin Mints are the worst. All right, we'll keep it moving. If that's the most controversial thing I say all night, we've lost a step here. And for those of you who don't tweet, we have a guy roaming the theater, passing out and collecting audience cards. Don't ignore him. That's our audience emissary, Jeremy Dalmas.
Hello.
Jeremy, anything exciting you've heard from the audience so far?
We have a huge stack of cards tonight. My personal favorite is I Saw Moonlight, Leave Norse Now to See It. Katrina from SF obviously loved the show enough to come, but loved Moonlight so much. That
this person is encouraging people to leave this show right now to go see Moonlight.
Yeah.
I mean, made
that,
by...
That must mean Moonlight's really amazing because we're the best.
Well, I feel like I should leave.
Just ignore it then.
Well, it's made by Barry Jenkins, who used to live here in the Bay Area, so we got to give it up for him, everybody, Barry Jenkins. I'm just real quiet in case people on the radio think I left. Did he just leave? Also, some of you may remember during our last show, we got called out for our very white production staff that in the audience you can see right here and over there and some over there. We got called out, and it wasn't by me, weirdly enough. And that night, we hired someone on the spot who was in the audience at the JCCSF. And here she is, new to our staff. Give it up for Maya Janelle, everybody. Maya Janelle!
Hey.
For those of you listening on the radio, she's a black woman. Our staff is now 100% more black and 100% more women. Yay! That sounds better than just saying we hired one black woman. Oh, Bay Area. So, Maya, I know you're here to dig into social media too, but also I'm excited because you have volunteered to help us learn, those of us who don't know, and also make sure I stay up with black Twitter. Is that true?
This is true.
Oh, we got one person who knows black Twitter.
Hey, friend.
Everybody else is going to be looking on their phone. How do I download the black Twitter app? Oh, Lord. Yes.
Yeah, black Twitter is mourning the loss of Vine right now. R.I.P. Vine. There were a lot of black Vine stars, so this is a loss for the black Twitter community, definitely.
I love the fact that some people's audience have no idea what that sentence was. Black Twitter's morning Vines? What? There was a garden accident? What happened? Vine was the app on that, it was the first, 6-second video app, and then Twitter said, we'll just do that ourselves, and they bought Vine, and now they're killing Vine.
Yeah.
Sort of like internet app imperialism.
Yeah, maybe Instagram killed it, or Snapchat stories and all that
R.I.P.
stuff.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Vine. All right. Well, anyway, thank you. Give it up for Maya, everybody. Maya Janelle, letting us know what's happening. So as you know, this show is all based on what's happening right now. And today, when I was getting ready for the show, I got a phone call from a friend of mine who works on a little CNN show called United Shades of America. And my friend Ron G. And he was like, get to Twitter right now. You have to find out. You have to check into what's going out with the Dakota Access Pipeline. Yes, absolutely. And so I went to Twitter and I checked it out, and there's a lot going on there. And this is a news story that is not getting enough coverage in most media. There's some people there on the ground who are doing a lot of good coverage. But I thought, in the spirit of Come Out Right Now, that we would do something right now to talk about that thing and learn some stuff and figure out what's going on. Those of us who don't know, we can't hear enough about it. So first off, I went to a ringer, actually, on my other podcast, Politically Reactive. We had Amy Goodman on. Amy Goodman of Democracy Now, yes. Amy Goodman has spent a lot of time at the Dakota Access Pipeline at Standing Rock and at doing the No Dapple thing and talking to people and interviewing people. And she was actually arrested at the Dakota Access Pipeline for the crime of journalism out loud, apparently. They charged her with something like 40, they sent her charges, she had like 45 years in prison hanging over her head, but that didn't stick. But she's still in the story. She's not there now, but I thought I would call her. I called her before the show. We're going to play a little bit of that phone call, and she can sort of tee this up. And then we're going to call an activist named Cody Hall, who is on the ground at Standing Rock right now, and a spokesperson for the Red Warrior Camp, who does a lot of the direct action stuff for the Dakota Access Pipeline and No Dapple. So, yes, it's happening right now, everybody. It doesn't get more right now than this. So right now we're going to play a little bit of my phone call from Amy Goodman, and then we'll come back and live. I'll call Cody Hall.
We're talking about a pipeline that would go from North Dakota, take the fracked oil of the Bakken oil fields down through South Dakota, through Iowa, and through Illinois. It's like just 6 miles short of the Keystone XL pipeline, shorter than the Keystone XL pipeline. That got a lot more attention. This is now gaining attention because of this massive resistance. For 6 months now, the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, supported by others, has set up these resistance camps. And right now, as we speak, the Morton County Sheriff's Department, supported by other, sheriff's deputies, because they're calling for sheriff's deputies from other states as well, are trying to dismantle one of these camps. It's a very frightening time right now, but is also a time of a level of resistance we have not seen before in this area.
Give it up for Amy Goodman, everybody. Amy Goodman is intense. I just said, hello, Amy, and she just went. She was just gone. And now we're going to bring out Phil, our producer, we're going to call Cody Hall, an activist, like I said, from the Red Warrior Camp, and we're going to see if we can talk to him about what's going on right now. We have him on the line right now. Put him on the thing. Oh, yeah, I need to do that. Hello?
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Can you hear everybody?
I can hear you, buddy.
Say again, Cody.
I can hear you.
Yay, that's better. Give it up for Cody Hall, everybody, from Red Warrior Camp. So first of all, Cody, tell us a little about what Red Warrior Camp does there at Standing Rock.
We are the action camp. We are the ones that that come up with the plan to stop this pipeline. We are giving up our civil liberties and our civil freedoms to make sure that this pipeline does not have a 100% completion. So we are the kind of, we've been referred to as the Navy SEALs or the Marines of everybody at camp, where we are putting ourselves out there on the line to stop this project.
Well, first of all, thank you for doing that. And Cody, I was out there a couple weeks ago and I learned a lot about this, but tell people here who are listening on the radio and here in the audience, why this is bigger than just what you're doing there, why this is bigger than just something going on at this camp with the tribes out there.
We are protecting future generations. We're not only protecting ourselves for this current time, but we're protecting the next seven generations. The next seven generations consist of our relatives that we haven't even met yet, that we will never meet, and we're protecting them. We're talking about the protection of 15 million people right now. And those 15 million people will have offspring. Those offspring will have offspring. So we're talking about this hundreds of millions of people that we are protecting down the road.
Well, thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. Give them up, everybody. Because this is not just about Native Americans. There's been a sort of a narrative that this is about Native Americans fighting for their land. You're actually fighting for the water for all of us, right?
Yes, we are. This is a humanitarian issue. It happens to be that we Native Americans are on the front lines fighting this campaign. We're the first ones to take defense. And so, yes, we definitely take this issue head on for all races, not just Native Americans.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. Give them a round of applause. And Cody, and also, now, talk about specifically what is happening today. There's been a lot of action from the National Guard and local authorities about what's happening right there at the Standing Rock today.
Yes, today they used tear gas on people. They shot tear gas. They shot flash grenades. They used a high frequency on an LRAD machinery where it gives a deafening sound to children if they were present, which they weren't today. It'll burst their eardrums, and so it also sends a shockwave to where it will make you throw up. It upsets your stomach and offsets your equilibrium. And they shot today at horses point blank with rubber bullets. This was today's event. This was at today's event. We were taking a stand at the frontline camp, which is on the pathway of this pipeline. And so what happened today was just a monumental thing, not in a good way. Morton County, along with other, Hennepin County from Minnesota, Dunn County from Wisconsin. We also have Wyoming and South Dakota State Patrol that were partaking in today's events. And they literally backed up the forces of the National Guard and of Morton County that used excessive force on protective, unarmed people today.
And despite what is happening today, is this shutting the camp down? I know they were pulling out tents and everything. Are people leaving there? Are the activists and people on the ground leaving?
No. Right now, the people were camping at the frontline camp, and so now they're going to go back to the big camp, the Oshete Shakowi camp, and regroup there. This is not the last stand. Our last stand will be at the Army Corps lands, which DAPL does not own Army Corps lands. And so that will be the last true stand of where this pipeline will end.
And what can people hear who are listening on the radio, what can we do? We know the media is not doing enough. Is there anything that we can do here who aren't there to help support this?
Well, you know, the biggest thing right now is we need the help with legal funds, with legal help. We're pretty well stocked with winter supplies. We can still use, wool blankets and that type of thing, wood for the camp. But right now, the most critical point is getting legal funds for people that have been arrested for their current, and ongoing cases down the road. And people can go to the Red Warrior legal funds and donate there. Like I said, we're the ones that are literally putting our civil liberties, our civil freedoms on the line. And these are people from all across the United States. In fact, some of the people that are joining forces come from Spain, Australia. They come from around the world. to come and take a stand. So definitely we will need help with legal funds down the road here.
Well, we will spread the word. We'll put that out on the website, on the KLW website, and on the podcast, and I'll spread the word on Twitter. And everybody here will spread the word, right, everybody? And we'll donate. Thank you, Cody, for calling. Give it up for Cody Hall, everybody. Thank you, brother, for calling. I really appreciate it. I know you're busy. Cody Hall, everybody. Cody Hall. He was like, we need wood. I'm like, honey, we got to break some chairs at home. No, he doesn't need it like that. We'll send money. That is one of the most important stories going on right now that a lot of media is not covering. He's too busy to have called us, but he wanted to call, and so we appreciate it. One more time for Cody Hall, everybody. Welcome to Come Out Right Now. It doesn't normally start like that. Give yourself a round of applause, everybody. We've got some amazing guests to come out here and talk about what's going on in the world right now. My first guest is the author of the New York Times bestseller, You'll Grow Out of It. She's the Emmy Award-winning executive producer and head writer for Inside Amy Schumer on Comedy Central. Please welcome Jessie Klein, everybody. Jessie Klein. My next guest is one of my favorite hosts of one of my favorite podcasts, Death, Sex, and Money, and she just moved to the Bay from New York City. She's a new mom, and she's the only guest in the history of Come Out Right Now who has both been in my house and drawn pictures with my oldest daughter. Give it up for Anna Sale, everybody. Anna Sale. My last guest is someone for whom words do no justice. She's an organizer, writer, but mostly she is known as the co-creator of Black Lives Matter, a movement that has done at least two incredibly important things. It has jump-started the 21st century civil rights movement, and it has made white people of all political stripes very uncomfortable. I'm extremely honored to welcome to the stage the legendary Alicia Garza, everybody. Alicia Garza. Thank you for coming, everybody. Oh, see, look at that. I said made white people uncomfortable. Suddenly the sound went out. Uh-huh. I know how it is. I got in-laws. Hey. Thank you all three for coming. This is quite an all-star power-packed panel, and I really appreciate you showing up on a night like tonight. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
So we like to always start out by finding out what's happening with you all right now. Anna, you just made the transition from New York to the Bay. Welcome, welcome,
Thank
welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. How's that transition going?
It's good. I'm finding people are very friendly compared to New York, and they are really anxious to help me make sure I'm living my best life.
We are big on that.
Yeah. It's like I was carrying my daughter down a street in Berkeley, and this very nice woman stopped and said, "Oh, I have a grandson, just a few months older. When is your daughter going to start eating?" "Oh, you know, in a few weeks or so." "You're going to start with avocado and then sweet potato, right?" "My grandson has not had anything that was not organic and made at home. We made duck confit." And I was like, okay, yeah. We're going to feed our daughter.
And the Bay Area is very funny. I remember before I had kids, the Bay Area is the first place I ever heard a kid go, "Yay, hummus!" Like, who wasn't, like, from the Middle East. Just some white kid whose name was Thor. I remember me and my wife were like, yes, Thor is excited about hummus. And also, how is the working parent thing going? Because you have the podcast, which is, again, Death, Sex, and Money, one of the greatest podcasts out there.
It's great. I'm finding the, like, transition from work to going home and being with the baby, that, like, time of making sure you're relieving the child care, getting with your baby. It's like this frantic 30 minutes, and then it's just me and the baby for 2 hours, and it's as if all of a sudden I'm in a sensory deprivation chamber with her. Like, it's like everything coming at you, and then it's like, let's just look at each other and try to make some noises. You know, it's a very interesting transition, those few minutes.
Yeah. Does anybody else have kids up here?
I have a 16-month-old, so I'm also familiar
with...
Doesn't
feel like a sensory deprivation chamber anymore.
I think at 16 months, it's sensory overstimulation. Yeah. It's a lot. There's a lot going on, mainly with my drinking, but that's another...
Well, you've added an extra factor in there to make it interesting.
Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, he doesn't know what I'm drinking. I think.
He just...
I don't know. Is child services coming? I didn't say anything. Never mind.
And Jesse, you, like a lot of us during this election, have been watching a lot of cable news.
Too much cable news. Yes.
Yes.
Your home network.
Yeah, my day job. My day job, CNN, day, yes.
That side job you have. Yeah, I have been overdosing on CNN at night. I don't know why I'm doing this, because it's every night I just watch Don Lemon try not to kill himself live on air as he talks to that murderer's row of bummers. The Trumpkins.
The Trumpkins.
The Trumpkins. It's like, I don't know whether to say insane or inane, but they both apply. There's nothing to be learned. They're horrendous, all of these Trump surrogates, and yet I just keep watching them every night, and it's like,
well, we have a picture up here for the audience.
Yeah.
Of three of the prime Trumpkins. This is Corey. I'll let you. Do you know these people? You're very familiar.
They sort of just blend into one real downer. But on the left, it's a big It's all a big swipe left.
Yes. It's a political
swipe,
tender.
It's a swipe left. Yeah.
So we have Corey Lewandowski,
who was Trump's
campaign manager.
Yeah.
But then he
major case.
He got fired because he, not surprisingly, he got grabby. So weird that one of Trump's campaign people got grabby.
Yeah.
He learned it from his dad, Donald, and
major rape face. I don't want to accuse, but that's. I mean, if there's such a thing as rape face, and I'm not saying there is, he has it.
I'm going to put the microphone down over here for me right now.
Cool.
Let you take it from there. And then Kaylee McEnany.
Yeah.
Who is?
She's like the Nermal to Kellyanne Conway's Garfield, which is Deep Cuts Garfield. If you remember, Nermal was like the small kitten version of Garfield. She's a bummer. And then on the right... is Jeffrey Lord, who is like the Halloween costume of Andrew Jackson. And between the three of them, it's like, you know when you're like out of town and you're staying at a hotel and maybe you've gone out with your friends and had fun and then you're like, you're going back to your hotel with your friends and you're like, let's just check out the hotel bar and see if we want to have one more drink. And then if you see those people, you're like, forget it. Let's not go here. Let's just go to bed. I'll see you guys tomorrow. It's a bummer here. It's like a bummer.
Thank you, Jesse, for that. That is such a...
Sorry.
No, that's such a better synthesis of what's going on right now.
Sorry.
That's beautiful. And Alicia, you have been... This is also related to Black Twitter. Maya, I can talk about this. You've been thinking a lot about Drake and Kid Cudi.
I have... Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Actually, I want to talk about something else.
Oh, that's fine.
Cool.
Good. I'll just throw that card away then. That was stupid card.
We can get on Drake later.
Yes. Can we?
We can. Sorry. So,
quick correction. That's Kid Cudi.
Oh, Kid Cudi. Thank you. Oh, Maya's already proving herself to be valuable. I literally said before the show, this explains my music knowledge of how deep I am into hip-hop. I was like, Cudi or Cudi? Cudi or Cudi? Yeah.
It
old dad.
Matter.
All right.
I mean, here's the thing. So I was just on Facebook, and I was reading about how the Bundy family just was acquitted.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So as there's people being tear-gassed and rubber-bulleted and L-ratted, you had a gang of white folks who were armed, took hostages on federal property for a month.
We're allowed to leave and come get supplies and go back.
You hear me? They were like, can we just talk about this?
Yes.
But then people who are protecting and defending our water, like the thing that we need to live, you know, that stuff.
You mean I can't live on sugar-free Red Bull like I'm trying to do right now?
No, no. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
I
that
can't.
Bundy situation was like the height of, I don't know, did we say they're white? I think we said they're white just by virtue of the story. The height of white privilege. It was the height of, like, white guys with guns armed to the teeth being like, we just don't want to go home.
Listen, I'm like, where are all you All Lives Matter people now?
Oh! And that's from Black Lives Matter Direct. That's.
Can I just add, because there is a link in terms of that hypocrisy, I just got to bring it back one more time to the Trumpkins. There's one other Trumpkin that completes the Seven Dwarves, Andre Bauer. And because I just got fascinated by them. I'm like, who are these people? And he was the former lieutenant governor of South Carolina. And so I Googled, He has been pulled over for several different traffic violations. And at one point, he charged a police officer who had pulled him over for a traffic violation. And the police officer had to pull his gun on him. Not only is he still alive, but he became a Trumpkin on CNN. This white dude. It's ridiculous.
It's unbelievable.
He charged a cop.
And you mean, you don't, you mean like ran at him, not like charged him like with a credit card. You mean like actually, yeah, I mean, I was gonna say, you mean like actually ran at the cop.
The former, yes.
Yes.
The former. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
Well, slow down.
In a shocking.
Now on KLW Live. For Bell's Atlas, everybody, Bell's Atlas. So normally, the thing that I'm thinking about is more nuanced or more layered, but this is just how are you all surviving this election season? We've talked a little about with the Trumpkins, but where are you at personally, professionally, as a person with blood in their veins, as women? It's been a... Anyway. How are you surviving this election season?
I've drained all local bars of tequila.
Rosé all day.
You can drink with Jessie and her kid.
Yeah, come on over.
I'm right there with you.
Anytime.
What about you, Annie? You're sort of in a journalist role here, you know, sort of a professional. So, you know, feel free to tell us about it from that angle.
I went on maternity leave. That's what I did to survive this election season.
So you're saying you saw that the election was coming, you're like, I better get pregnant.
I gotta get knocked up. I see this coming. Yeah. No, I think it's been, it actually has been really healthy to have a solid distraction these last several months because it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel like many of us feel at all like we belong. And I think that is, it's gotten really nasty and painful.
Yeah, absolutely. Jessie, where are you at with this whole thing? Where are you with her? Are you voting for Trump, weirdly? That'd be weird.
Very hardcore Trump. I am with her.
That's the Bay Area. One person claps. That's the Bay Area.
I'm with her. Voting for Hill.
Yeah, that's the Bay Area. Like, one person's like, good for you. Oh, nobody else? Nobody else. Okay. Everybody else is like still hoping Bernie pulls ahead at the end. The tortoise and the hare.
The
tortoise and the guy with the crazy hair. I'm just fixing
start
the joke.
Chanting, write him in.
Write him in. Yes.
Writing in Pence. I feel like I have gotten the media obsession where I do just continue to watch these things that are pointless. and swiping, continuously refreshing Twitter, just keeping track of the Trump insanity. It's like started to feel like very bad. This is very earnest, but it's felt very bad for my soul and my heart and brain to just continue to read everything about the opposition, the opponent, as Michelle Obama very nicely puts it. And I think I've decided I need to stop. Like I just don't want to read about it anymore. I just want it to be over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just watched to learn about this mythical land that they live in. I mean, it's so bizarre. I mean, you can have... I mean, what I like is that CNN is now getting real gangster on the Trump people. Yeah. You know, it's just like...
I'll take credit for that.
The door, right? Yeah. So they're like, okay, but you don't live in reality. I mean, this is literally what the newscasters are saying, yeah. Which is entertaining for me. It's making me feel
CNN,
like...
CNN, I have to admit, has gotten real, like you said, gangster with, like, the chyrons, the things on the bottom of the screen, the text. It'll be like, Donald Trump just said that he has always supported, he never supported the Iraq war. And then they'll put in parentheses, he did.
Yes, you know, like, did. I do have, I guess it feels like Don Lemon has become like the main evening guy. And I was not really a huge Don Lemon fan when he first kind of took over the evening hours. It just felt like he was kind of a lightweight about a lot of the things he was supposed to be reporting on. But I really have to give him credit because if on November 9th, if he just like rolls out and is like, I'm going to start an Etsy shop. I'm going to sell candles that I make in my house. I'm done. I'd be like, thank you for your service. I don't know how you dealt with this night after night after night. It's bananas.
I do think there's one good thing that's happened in the last few months, and that is, like in past elections where we came to believe that when you say that there's a difference between rape and legitimate rape, that you'll lose an election. Now I think that if you have a history of grabbing women, it's seen as a liability, which is good.
Which
it
is, yeah.
That is progress.
Oh, the bar is so low. Yeah. The bar is so low. If you have a history of bragging about your sexual assault, it will hurt your election chances.
Yeah, maybe it's a problem.
It's a problem. I mean, I learned so many things this election that I didn't know before, like Access Hollywood had a bus. I didn't know that. Where's Entertainment Tonight in this? They were probably jealous. Alicia, so I've noticed conspicuously that Black Lives Matter has not officially endorsed a candidate.
No.
Do you want to do that right here, right now?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Some people think you have.
You know, listen. Okay, y'all.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
It's really an interesting thing. So you can tell how race works in this country, right? Because a black person gets up and says, I'm with her, and they're like, the Black Lives Matter movement is with Hillary. That just doesn't make any sense. Two people made a statement about how they're voting 19 days before the election. Okay, let's move on. Black Lives Matter Network has said, we don't endorse a candidate in this race. Why? Not because we're abstentionist, but because nobody's speaking to our issues. The closest we've gotten is talking about gun violence. We still haven't heard anything about police violence. We haven't heard anything about how to close the wage gap between black folks and pretty much everybody else. We haven't heard how it is that we are going to make sure that black folks aren't on the front lines of the destruction of climate change. And so until then, why are we going to endorse a candidate? That just doesn't make any sense.
Preach. I know I'm supposed to move on, but I got a text from a white friend of mine today because I had a whole talk about, like, white people have to call out their white people. They have to get their people when stuff happens.
Like, come get your cousins.
Come get your cousins. Hashtag come get your boy. And a white friend of mine texted me today a screen grab of a text he had with another white person who said, did you hear Black Lives Matter endorsed Hillary? And he was like, no, that was just one black person who endorsed Hillary. And the guy was like, okay. And he sent it to me like, look at me out there in the streets. Way to go, sir. Way to go. It's time we check in with our social media desk to find out what's happening with you on Twitter and with you in the live audience. Please give it up for our tweet wrangler, Becca Hoekstra, everybody. And let's welcome again our brand new producer, Maya Janelle. What's going on out there on Twitter?
Okay, so I've been asking people to send me nice things to remind me that the world isn't terrible. And so I got this one from @inflatedkarma. So to get out of the escape the election stuff, he is taking the dog for a ride because he reminds me there is good in the world. And it's a picture of a dog in a convertible wearing goggles, which is the greatest thing. I'm very excited about this.
You're very excited about that, Becca. I'm immune to cute dog photos, but I'll take your word for it.
Oh,
are you seeing the goggles, though?
Yeah.
What?
Are you seeing the goggles, though?
I guess.
Yeah, the goggles.
I think its collar says bad to the
You're
bone.
Like, goggles! What else is going on out there in the world?
I specifically asked for questions for you, Kamau, and @DuskQ says, ask Mr. Bell why black people aren't allowed to like more than one movie at once. Moonlight, Birth of a Nation, and Queen of Katwe.
Because there's a phenomenon called black people homework, which means every now and again black people have a homework assignment in the form of a movie, and we only like to have one homework assignment at a time. And right now, we're at, like, peak black entertainment, unfortunately, and there's too many damn homework assignments. I'm like an episode and a half to Luke Cage, damn it. How am I supposed to get to... My mom always says, it used to be you only had to watch one black thing. There was only one black thing. You'd watch Good Times at Home, and then you'd go watch Pam Grier at Night at the Theater, and that's all you had. No, it is a... Alicia, what's your black thing right now?
Queen Sugar.
Queen Sugar on Oprah.
It's so good.
Oprah Network made a comeback.
It's everything. Yeah. It's really given me my entire life. And, of course, the movement is represented.
Yes.
So, you know, they've even got somebody in there that's, you know, really getting it.
Ava DuVernay is going to be with you on that postage stamp. Not on the same one. You'll have separate postage stamp, but Ava DuVernay is a quiet boss.
Yes.
Out there, yes. Give it up for Ava DuVernay, everybody. Yeah. She's not here, but she's not even a quiet boss. She's just a boss.
Yeah.
What else we got over there on Twitter land? Oh, speaking of Oprah, here she is.
This is from All That Is Kim. Question for Miss Alicia Garza and W. Kamau Bell. Will you miss the Obamas leaving the White House as much as I will? Clutches pearls.
I don't know if I can have this conversation in front of all these white people. How do you feel about it?
Look, there's no doubt that Obama's legacy is one that we will remember for a long time, particularly because he's the only black president that we've had in history. Yes. The only one.
Maybe the last one.
Probably the last one. You know, I'm a little bit upset with him. I'll just keep it real. He seems like a cool guy. I'd love to sit and have a beer with him and tell him all the reasons that he just should have gone hard,
yes.
And he didn't.
Yes.
I wish he had rode it till the wheels fall off.
Yes.
Because what did he have to lose, really?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that didn't happen. But, you know, I'm here for when he, you know, just really tells off Republicans. I'm
yeah.
here for all of that.
And he gets a lot of extra credit for Michelle. Like, you know.
No.
Okay. Never mind. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
Michelle is her own force of nature.
Yes. No, I have. Yes. Yes.
And
yes.
If it was not for Michelle, I'm sorry, but there would be no Barry. No Barry. And real talk, Michelle is the height and the epitome of black woman magic. Mm-hmm. And we just have to give her love for that. I think she's also smarter on policy than he is, to be quite frank. Ooh, I said it. And the last thing, I mean, we do have to give Obama credit for some stuff. Like, he has granted clemency to over 500 people who were in jails for nonviolent offenses. That's important. And we need to keep going all the way with that. He has helped to make sure that tens of thousands of people who don't have health care have access to health care. And then we still have these jerks in the South who are like, we're not going to take that money, but we're going to get rid of them. Okay, we're on the move here.
Yeah.
So there's some stuff to give him props for, but like, I'm sitting here watching the pipeline stuff, and I'm like, dude, this is part of your legacy.
Yeah. I tweeted today that I think it's interesting that, like, because I was like, Obama, do something to call off the National Guard, and people tweeted back, the president doesn't actually do anything, National Guard, none of his. And I was like, how come the left allowed George W. Bush to have so much power and thinks Barack Obama has so little? You know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
I
why?
Do. I do.
He's the president. He can show up. If he shows up, you know what I mean?
So that's... I think, you know, I mean, he should be sending observers from the Department of Justice out there to make sure that people's rights are protected. And he should also be making sure that local jurisdictions are not using military-grade weapons for peaceful demonstrations. It's, like, really basic.
We could have this talk more, and we'll have it in the after party. Give it up for our guests, everybody. Anna Sale, Jesse Klein, and Alicia Garza. And to come out right now, social media desk. We'll have them back on later, so keep those tweets coming at hashtag KamauNow. KamauNow. Now it's time for a little more music. Give it up for Bell's Atlas.
The pieces that I'm not fortune, I'm not wanted, they're persisting. Machine, don't you know it's exactly the first thinking that you bring. Machine, let it down. Machine, no reason to pour out things or reasons that you don't like. Machine, don't you know it's exactly the first thinking that you breathe. You get lost, you get down, you get mad at dinner. Doom, you can leave, you real. Sides to live in an answer. All this ghost light, one's bright thing, it has a limit, but you know that this home you have moved. Machine, don't you know it's exactly the first thinking that you breathe. Machine, let it down. Machine, bust that, break it till you fall to silence. Machine, don't you know it's exactly the first thinking that you breathe. The pieces on me. Ooh, you get lost. You get mad at dinner. Do this thing. It's far better than it. Machine.
Bell's Atlas, everybody. Again, I'm W. Kamau Bell, and this is Kamau right now on KALW. We've heard from Twitter, but let's hear what's happening with the people right here at the Norse Theater in beautiful downtown San Francisco. Please welcome our audience emissary, Jeremy Dalmas.
Hello.
Hello, Jeremy. What's happening in this place tonight?
Well, I'm kind of excited because I got the first card directed exactly at me. It says, Jeremy, cellular internet is really lousy in this building, Santiago. Which is funny because I have no control over the cell reception, but it's nice to know, you know?
It's nice to know they thought you could control the internet in this building.
Yeah.
That's nice. Is the internet bad here tonight? In San Francisco, how ironic that the internet is bad. It's the worst thing that's happened to some people in this building, probably.
Maybe they can just go see that movie.
Yeah, they go see that movie, yeah. Leave and go see the movie. No, don't leave. Wait till afterwards. What else is happening out there?
There's lots and lots of things about the elections. About half the cards are about the elections, upset about Trump, upset about other things. One person has a solution.
Yes.
What are the chances of a bipartisan Michelle Obama, Condoleezza Rice ticket?
What?
I think it's a little too late for that at this point.
It's late and it's also wrong. I gotta get Alicia out here to answer that question. That's not a bipartisan. Who had that question? Will you reveal yourself? Did you really think? Is it a black person who had that question? Oh, is this guy right here?
No,
it's up top. Where?
Hi. Yes.
Hi.
Lucy.
Are you a fan of both those women equally?
No. One of them.
What makes you think that would be a good ticket?
Really, it was actually more to hear you do your Condoleezza Rice impression.
Oh, no, that's not going to happen. That's that's been banned from the internet. No, thank you. Yes. I've had a good run going the last few years. I don't want to ruin it by bringing back that horrible joke. Thank you for bringing that up. What's going on, Jeremy? Thank you for that person. Round of applause for embarrassing me about a joke I wrote years ago. That is horribly, horrible, horrible. Uh-oh. Okay. All right. Alicia Garza is back out here. Alicia Garza, yes. Okay. All right.
Question?
Oh, thank you. It was about a bipartisan ticket. Is it too late for a bipartisan ticket with Michelle Obama and Condoleezza Rice? For those of you listening on the radio, I just broke her face.
Yeah. Who asked that question?
It's a nice white lady up the top. It ended up being about something else. It ended up being about, I used to have a horrible joke about Condoleezza Rice that's really bad, and I don't want to think about it because it makes me feel sad, and I have daughters now.
Why?
I think they know if they wrote that down, we would definitely call that out. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
We got trolled by a member of the audience.
No.
But we can firmly say that Michelle Obama and Condoleezza Rice, probably not a good ticket to run together.
No. I mean, Condoleezza Rice is a fan of increased surveillance, increased kind of state oversight and control. Michelle Obama, we don't really know where she stands on that stuff, but I'm assuming, No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would love to see a ticket with two black women on it, that's for sure.
Yes.
I'd love to see a black woman for president.
Yes, yes.
That's for sure. And I would love to see a black woman as vice president. That would be like the blackest White House ever.
Oh, my God. And I love the fact in the middle of discussion of two black women being president and vice president, suddenly the cops alarm went off. We could hear police out in the streets go, uh-oh, black people have an opinion. Black woman with opinions about black women being president. Somebody call the cops.
It was the All Lives Matter police.
Oh, the All Lives Matter police. It is really fun to make All Lives Matter with you jokes. That's really fun to make those jokes with you. I appreciate that. Thank you for coming back out here. I just want to have you, I just would like to think that anytime I'm in trouble, just like, bring me Alicia Garza. You just come out here, just, this white person says I'm crazy. You just come out and go, no. Alicia Garza, everybody, Alicia Garza. Thank you for coming back out. Thanks, Jeremy, and thank you to all of you out there. We'll go to some questions in the after party. Keep those questions and comments coming. We'll have our panel back later on in the after party, so if you got something to ask or comment on about them specifically, use the hashtag KamauNow. We appreciate that. KamauNow. Now it is time for my favorite part of the show.
It's an awkward talk with W. Kamau Bell.
Wow. Just to be clear, that was Sweet Child of Mine, right? Something like that. I felt like I was like suddenly Axl Rose on heroin happened in my head. It was it was great. Thank you to Bell's Atlas. That was amazing. This is the part of the show where we get into the things that we don't always feel comfortable talking about, things that make you feel the feels, because when people don't have enough awkward conversations and ask a lot of questions, things like this election season happen. Our next guest is our first return guest to the Awkward Talk. He's a journalist who spent 2 years in a prison in Iran back in 2009 after hiking near the border and being accused of espionage, but that's not why he's here. He was last here after he spent 4 months as a private prison guard in Louisiana, but that's not why he's here. You can read all about that in his article in Mother Jones Magazine. But off the back of that article, he's here. Off the back of that article, the Justice Department announced that it's planning to stop using private prisons, so that journalism actually seems to have made a difference. The reason he is here tonight is because he recently found himself with some free time, so he decided to hang out with some border militia in Arizona. Mother Jones just dropped his story on that experience 2 days ago. You can get copies of the magazine out front. We're lucky that he's here and still alive. Please welcome Shane Bauer, everybody. Shane Bauer. Shane, we just did this a couple months ago.
Yeah, I just love getting awkward. I just couldn't resist coming back.
Yeah, because you were here last time because you had spent time, you went undercover. Not even really undercover. You said, hi, I'm Shane Bauer. I work for Mother Jones Magazine. Can I be a prison guard? They're like, sure, we just need bodies in here. And we talked about that, and your wife, Sarah, was here. But now you went. So that was only a couple months ago, And now you just wrote an article that I just read. I read twice because I was like, really, this happened? Where you went, again, my name's Shane Bauer, I write for Mother Jones Magazine. Can I join your militia? Sure, come on in here. What we're finding out is Mother Jones Magazine is not popular among right-wing cranks. They have no idea what it is. So first of all, when did you do this exactly?
I actually did this before the prison story published. Basically, the prison story was being fact-checked and going through insane legal reviews. And so I went to my editors and pretty much said, look, if you don't let me join a right-wing militia, my head is going to explode.
Which is how a lot of people join right-wing militias, except you win it from the left wing. So you already had this idea at the time?
Yeah, I mean, about 6 months after I left the prison, I start kind of poking around, and I don't know, one day was kind of looking around, wondering what was happening with these militias that popped up in the 90s, and kind of learned that there had been a resurgence after Obama was elected. There are about 270 militias in the country, and there are now some nationally organized militias, and I was interested in that new phenomenon. So one of those groups, the 3% United Patriots, and that's one of the militias I ended up joining. I actually started joining the California State Militia. There's several militias in California, and kind of just to kind of get inside that world and do some training.
How close are they to where we're sitting right now?
There's some in Oakland, actually.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah. Appreciate that. Live in Berkeley. I appreciate that.
Although,
thank you.
Although I did go to some trainings with other militias in California, in, you know, far northern California, and when I told them I was from Oakland, they were like, oh, you got to get out of Oakland because there's all that Black Lives Matter in Oakland, so, which pretty much is code for black people.
Yeah, all that Black Lives Matter, yeah. Hint. It's not very good code, even. So, look, I did a thing with CNN where I went and hung out with the Ku Klux Klan. I did not infiltrate because hashtag black guy, but I'm dining out on that story forever, and you have already done three things that I feel like you don't have good dinner conversation? You need stories to tell? So one thing about the article I thought was interesting is that you actually talk about how at some point you actually sort of, because you were out there with them for days, mm-hmm. You were sleeping out there.
Yeah.
How many days were you out there?
I was out there for about a week.
A week undercover, hanging out with guys. You talk about the adrenaline rush at one point.
Yeah.
So that you could actually, and you were like, I think I get why they're doing this.
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, they see themselves as kind of this defense against the federal government. They have all these conspiracy theories. They're paranoid about Muslims, about, you know, civil unrest, all these things. But a lot of them are veterans, war veterans, and you know, some of them openly say, like one guy said to me, this is therapy for me. He's like, this reminds me of Afghanistan. And you know, we're out in the middle of the desert, and we're basically a bunch of white guys in the back of, it's basically like a white ISIS. We're kind of like these guys in the back of a pickup truck with rifles driving around.
ISIS, yes.
Yeah, you know, and you know, their whole thing is they're looking for people crossing the border. Their whole thing is that they you know, say they're looking for drug cartels, but basically everyone who looks Mexican, it becomes a drug cartel. There's like guys that are, there's one time when this guy was looking over from a mountain and he saw one of the militia trucks roll up through this little town, and this Latino guy kind of ran off, and they're like, oh, he's definitely cartel, you know, not that he's scared that all the white dudes are rolling through with assault rifles.
Look at that Mexican guy who's afraid of white guys with assault rifles. He's definitely Mexican cartel. Yeah. He's definitely cartel. The thing I find fascinating about this is because you have to spend a lot of time with these guys just hanging out.
Yeah.
And they're making, like, inappropriate jokes, racist jokes. One of them seems like he wants to date you, maybe.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
But in that sort of prison way,
just
to be clear about that,
that was actually the thing that was most familiar after leaving the prison thing was that guy.
God, reminds me of the last time I was undercover. So my question is, when you're hanging out with these guys and it's just dudes sitting around and they're making these like sexist, racist, mm-hmm. Islamophobic, homophobic jokes, and they're, are you like laughing, are you pretending to, like, how, like, what are you doing in those moments? Like,
I'm just kind of being quiet. And, you know, the thing is with that kind of, like, macho white culture is you can just kind of say nothing. And, you know, a lot of these guys are just like, they show no emotion. They're just kind of, you can just do that, you know.
Oh, so you can pretend, not that you're offended because you're from the Bay Area. You're just completely cut off from feeling because you're a white guy who wonders why he's not more powerful in the world.
Yeah, basically.
So you don't have to be like, you just want, I wish I could feel emotion.
Yeah, but there were times that it was hard to show emotion. Like the time that I went into town and was sitting at a Pizza Hut and this guy one of the guys was like, so who's waterboarding this year? And the other guy's like, oh, that's me. And I was like, wait, you guys are waterboarding? And he goes on to talk about this training that they do where they, you know, have recruits sleep deprived for 36 hours. They strip them, blindfold them, strap them to tilt tables upside down, tase them, cattle prod them, make them suck.
I think we get it. It's bad. It's real bad. It's real
it's bad. And that time I was like really trying hard not to show some
not
surprise.
To just be like, I gotta go, guys. I'm from the Bay Area. I need some kale. You didn't have to like Well, thank you for coming. Do you know what you're doing next? That you have a plan? Do you want to tell us? You want to break the story here?
I think I'm going to chill out for a little bit.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Shane Bauer, everybody. Shane Bauer. We'll talk more to you in the after party. That's our show, everybody. I want to thank our wonderful guests once again. Anna Sale, Jesse Klein, Alicia Garza, and Shane Bauer. Thanks to Cody Hall from Red Warrior Camp. Google them online and send them money for defense. Thanks to Amy Goodman. Thanks to City Arts and Lectures for hosting us here at the Norse Theater. The Come Out Right Now team is Ted Muldoon, Dan Brandon, James Rollins, Maya Janelle, Jeremy Dalmas, Becca Hoekstra, Bill Serkis, Max Jacobs, and Matt Martin. Music by Bell's Atlas. Come Out Right Now is a production of KALW. For those in the audience, stay with us. We've got more show coming up. If you're on the radio, you can catch that on the podcast. So go subscribe to Come Out Right Now, right now. I'm W. Come Out Bell. Thank you so much, and good night! That was too much show.
This is what will come for you is when time falls in hell.